Hello, this is Jill Pasternak. Welcome to Crossover, the program that explores the universal language, music. Music of Heitor Villa-Lobos from his 12 etudes. We heard the etude number 12 performed by our guest today, guitarist Milos.
Hello.
Milos, hello.
Hi, Jill. Very pleased to talk to you again then.
Yes, and you are just making tremendous success with your releases, I see. And certainly that's justified because they are just wonderful.
Thank you. I'm glad you enjoy.
Tell the audience a little bit about your background for those who don't know who you are.
Well, my name is Milos, of course, and I come from Montenegro, which is a very small country in the Mediterranean Sea in Europe. I moved to London when I was 16 years old to pursue my dream to be a classical musician and to play classical guitar professionally. And I have lived in London ever since. And so far I have released 3 albums on Deutsche Grammophon, which is a very well-known German classical music label called the Yellow Label as well. We have really made some big waves for the classical guitar in the last couple of years, I think, and had a tremendous fun in doing so. I discovered the guitar out of nowhere without any tradition. My family has nothing to do with classical music or anything like that. And I think that notion of the guitar being the instrument of people is an ever-present motif in everything that I do. And for that reason, I like to inspire everybody to enjoy guitar and not be scared by the fact that it is a classical guitar, because it's still a guitar and it can be can translate and speak to absolutely everybody.
Well, I think that you certainly do. You certainly do inspire on many levels. You're a wonderful classical guitarist. And I believe on, isn't it on your newest album, the Canción, that you play, but you play something classical on this?
My idea was to create an album which is going to incorporate many different elements, and which is going to showcase the guitar through the music of South America predominantly, and showcase it as the versatile instrument which can equally embrace and and be used for performing some of the most core classical works, as well as some of the most popular songs you can possibly imagine, given that they are arranged in the right kind of way for the guitar, where you can use the technique and the skill and everything that you have as a classical guitarist of that level.
Thank you. Music of Antonio Carlos Jobim, as arranged by Sergio Assad for guitar. We heard our guest today, Miloš, performing The Girl from Ipanema.
So Canción was a fun project where I wanted to really explore those different dimensions of the guitar. And it's almost like a continuation of the Passion, which was released last year.
Well, that was incredible, and it was terribly romantic, and I remember swooning when I heard it, because I love the tango as well, and you did some Piazzolla, and I mean, it was quite unbelievable. And I think when I first got the information about you on your first album, I said, oh, okay, this is kind of a pop kind of thing, because you had a lot of publicity. You are, if you'll forgive me for saying, a very, very attractive man. And
to forgive you there.
And you're playing very romantic music. So, I mean, I think you probably should be doing film pretty soon. But I wanted to say that that last album just knocked me out, the Passion. So when I saw the newest, I think you're repeating the Libertango. Isn't that one of the things that you did on the last one?
Yes, but I repeated it because I wanted to do it slightly differently.
I see. Oh, that's very interesting.
I have performed it around the world since I recorded it on the previous album. And while I was doing so, I was just experimenting with a few things and made some changes. And that's what you will hear on the new album. And now I feel that track is just exactly how I always wanted it to sound. Music of Astor Piazzolla, the Libertango, arranged for orchestra by Christoph Israel, and the accordion part arranged and performed by Sinija Sidorova. Of course, the soloist Miloš, who is our guest today on Crossover. Also, I wanted to ask you, they in the publicity material, they talk about something called the Yellow Lounge events, and evidently you're causing a sensation at those. Can you explain again what they are? Is it a kind of the ambiance is very kind of clubby, is that right? And then you perform there? That's the idea. The idea is to create an event which is going to be of interest to people which normally wouldn't come to a concert hall. And this means that we as musicians would come to them rather than wait for the audience to come to us.
I see.
And the Yellow Lounge concept is something which was initiated in Berlin. And it's called the Yellow Lounge because it features artists on the yellow label, which means the Deutsche Grammophon artists.
I see.
The whole idea of it is to really use the space and use the atmosphere which is created by the most unusual settings, and incorporated and translated into your music, and share the music with the people who normally, as I said before, wouldn't come into the Carnegie Hall or into the big concert halls. I have done those all around the world, and everywhere where I have done them, we have created a different energy and a different feeling. And the ones in the US were so different to the ones in Southeast Asia or the ones in Europe. And to me, it's always fascinating to see how people react to music. And to be a performer in the Yellow Lounge is the most wonderful experience for me, because it allows me to really hear and to really listen and to get in touch with the people which I am excited about the most, and that is the young people.
And it's more intimate, I think, than a concert hall, isn't it?
Well, I think the concert hall can also be very intimate, and the guitar has the power to really shrink any space into a very small, intimate space. But the Yellow Lounge is even more so. They create this very, very organic and natural experience where people are lounging and sitting and having a drink and talking, and then you play and you talk and you share, and they can even shout out an encore or something like that.
Well, of course, the guitar is such an intimate instrument anyway. I almost feel that it's better in that environment than in the concert hall, because usually in the concert hall well, I have gone to some concerts with guitar solos, great ones, where you really can't hear them very well unless you're sitting, you know, probably midway into the concert hall. So I think it's an intimate instrument to begin with. And yes, and so this would be a perfect venue for you. Somos novios, translated to it's impossible. But it wasn't Perry Como who was playing the guitar. It was our guest today, Miloš, a wonderful, wonderful piece of music that we all know under that name. And the direct translation of Somos novios is it's impossible. It was written by Armando Manzanero. He was born in 1935, and a very, very popular song as we knew it, and beautifully played here by our guest today, guitarist Miloš. As I say in the beginning, when I first heard of you and saw, you know, your first album and heard it, I thought of you as more, you know, more, I don't want to say pop-oriented, but more on a less classical level, and yet you are the ultimate classical musician, because you certainly, you went in England, of course, you went to the conservatory there. And then, you're also playing some of the great guitar concertos on this.
Yes. And, when you touched upon quite a few things, which I would like to answer. When you look at publicity and promotion and things, that's one thing, and that's all noise. What matter is that when you turn on something and when you hear it and when you listen to it, if it speaks to you the right way, it's the most important thing. And I feel that no matter what the promotion and what the publicity does, is that you just have to turn on your ears and appreciate it for what it is. I have always believed that the guitar as an instrument is able to really go into so many different directions. And that the fact that I am the classical guitarist of that very, very high level shouldn't be something that is putting the brakes to my creativity, but rather something that accelerates me into exploring different worlds. For that reason, I'm very, very grateful to be in the position that I'm in, and to be able to bring this instrument further and generate new audiences, not just for myself, but for the whole world of classical guitar. And that excites me so much. When it comes to places and so on, and if the guitar is quiet or loud and You know, that a lot depends on the guitarist. Because if you perform concerts in a large space, you naturally have to have the ability to in that very moment adjust to the space you are playing in. And what I have learned so much when I started to perform was that if I play in a space where the acoustic is challenging, I just have to allow my body to do something in order for the projection to be greater. And then the whole aesthetics of the sound and of the music changes. And every time you take yourself out of that comfort zone of a perfectly acoustic space, you really, really ask from yourself to be a better musician and to grow into something every time you perform in that way. Sometimes, of course, you have to use the amplification, and I like using amplification when I have to, because then it allows everybody to enjoy it. But, you know, guitar has this power to really shrink the space. And when I played here in London, I played in the Royal Albert Hall, which is a 4,000 seat place, venue, and it's like in an amphitheater shape, and I was sitting in the middle of the podium and surrounded by people, and you could hear a pin drop. I was amplified. The acoustics of the Albert Hall are not known to be the most amazing acoustics at all. It is just that if you want, you can. And if you have it in your mind, you can create it. And the guitar is a wonderful vehicle to create any world and any atmosphere that you possibly can imagine. And that excites me every day that I wake up, that I have the opportunity to live a life through the guitar.
Music of Luigi Boccherini, the Fandango movement from his quintet number 4 for guitar and strings in D major, arranged by Juan Carlos Cuello and performed by guitarist Milos with the English Chamber Orchestra conducted by Paul Watkins. The next work is a beautiful one that everyone has heard quite often, but it's rather puzzling that no one ever identified the composer. Romanza, Romance, performed now by Milos. A very popular but anonymous work, Milos has performed the Romanza, accompanied by the English Chamber Orchestra, Paul Watkins conducting. You are creating different worlds, certainly in your repertoire, and you are a wonderful musician, and I look forward to each release, and I wonder if you're going to run out of ideas. Ah, silly question. But I'm, as a musician, I ask you, any favorite repertoire that you really enjoy is, you know, you have classical, then you have, of course, the Argentinian, which is marvelous. And then you have the classical guitar repertoire. So, and of course, concertos. Anything that really turns you on? I know everything turns you on, but, anything to explore? I mean, really?
Absolutely. And actually, if I could, and if I would have enough hours in the day, I would just have learned something new every day. Because it's a very versatile instrument, but the area of the repertoire which really so naturally fits on the guitar is Baroque and Bach in particular. And I love playing Bach, and in almost every concert that I perform of the more serious recital, and sometimes even not in the proper venues. I think Bach is a composer which can translate and speak to people in any time and in any environment.
Yes.
So I love Bach in particular. I also love 20th century British music. Walton and Britten and Tippett and Lennox Berkeley, and this is a wonderful section of our repertoire, and it's all the pieces which I have played before I became well known as a classical guitarist, because I was then a student and I was playing concerts in different places. But in order for us to arrive to that place where the normal people can enjoy this kind of music, is we first have to do some groundwork through the repertoire, which will re-inspire and open those doors once again to that mainstream popularity of the instrument.
Well, you've certainly, I think you certainly have opened doors and hearts, because all three of your albums are exquisite and emotionally very, very moving and passionate. I really think all of that comes across, and that's what I think the audience responds to, no matter whether you're a classical buff or you're somebody that knows guitar or somebody that just loves, you know, perhaps, you know, Argentinian music, or you really have covered the whole spectrum. And certainly that shows also your repertoire and your abilities. And I look forward to every release that you come out with. Do you have any idea of what the next one is going to be?
Very much so. And it's been one of the most wonderful collaborations of my musical life so far. Actually, the most wonderful. I have recorded the Rodrigo Concertos with your own Yannick Nezet-Séguin from the Philadelphia Orchestra. And we recorded those concertos here in London with the London Philharmonic. And on this record, you will hear some of the most beautiful, at the same time, some of the most core concertos and repertoire for the guitar. And it's the music which has followed me through my development, and is the music which inspired me to love guitar. Those are the pieces. And when you think of the Aranjuez, it's a concerto which really brought together so many different worlds through so many generations. And to perform it with such a great orchestra, and to create music with such an incredible, exciting young conductor, for me really was a dream come true. In
when is that going to happen? My goodness, the Aranjuez.
That's coming out next year. And there is going to be a whole lot of performances and events with orchestras around the U.S. And it's a very, very exciting time.
You think you'll come to Philadelphia? After all, Yannick is here.
Yes, I think so. I think so.
Ah, but, that's wonderful.
You will wait and see for the date.
Now, what album? So, this would be coming out on the Deutsche Grammophon label.
Yes, this is coming out next year.
Wonderful.
I think towards the summer in the U.S.
Well, you can't blame us for being so interested in what you're going to do next, because every one of your albums has been an enormous success, and justifiably so. And I'm so thrilled to speak to you again and to see your success, Miloš, because the way you started and how you managed to achieve this level of success and performance and expertise is really quite thrilling. So thank you once again for taking time to speak with us here on Crossover.
With great pleasure, Jill, and I hope I meet you in person next
yes,
time.
Oh, yes, I really look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you so
good
much.
Luck.
All the best.
Bye-bye. One of the most fascinating subjects for Heitor Villa-Lobos was the music of Bach. And he wrote a rather interesting set of works entitled Bachianas Brasileiras. Here is the aria, the cantilena, sung by Anna Prohaska, soprano, and performed by our guest today, Miloš. From the larger work Bachianas Brasileiras by Heitor Villa-Lobos, based on the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, we heard the aria, the cantilena, performed here by soprano Anna Prohaska with guitarist Miloš. Miloš has also tipped his hat to the songs that have been so popular through the years that are so very well known by so many of us. Let's listen now to music by Consuelo Velasquez, perhaps you know Besame Mucho from many, many years back. Or perhaps Quizás, Quizás, Quizás by Osvaldo Juarez. And finally, Más que Nada by Jorge Ben. We've just heard Besame Mucho with an arrangement by Sergio Assad, Quizás, 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 arranged for orchestra by Christoph Israel, and the guitar part revised by Stephen Goss, and finally, Más que Nada, arranged by Sergio Assad, performed by Miloš. I'm Jill Pasternak. Until next time.
For a second listen to selected Crossover interviews, visit WRTI.org. Crossover was produced by Jill Pasternak in the studios of WRTI Philadelphia for the WRTI Radio Network. This is Joe Hattie, Crossover's technical producer. Crossover is syndicated nationally by Global Media Group Incorporated. Thanks for listening.